Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor and I, how adorable, are matching today.
About once a year this happens.
Look at this. This is incredible.
It's like a lilac.
Lavender and Friends.
Yes.
Mornings exactly. On FS1. All right, Zeke got a new deal.
Yes.
He's got a new deal. I want to talk about that. I've been hearing now for months, this is Zeke's team. It runs through Zeke. He is the most valuable player. You have got to get this deal done. This is Zeke's team. Oh, really? Then he must have the world's worst agent because he just signed a contract that's less than DeMarcus Lawrence. That will be less than half of Dak Prescott. Are the Cowboys Super Bowl favorites now? Did the Dallas Super Bowl odds change? Because I see there are 10 teams in the NFL that have the same or better odds than Dallas. This has never been Zeke's team. This is Dak Prescott's team. When did the fortunes of this franchise change? Tony Romo hurt. They were desperate. Dak stepped in and went 13-3. Let me ask you a question. If Dak Prescott had held out of camp, had refused to report, had gone down to Cabo to work out, do you think Jerry Jones would have been cracking jokes about Dak? Remember what Jerry said. This was 3 weeks after Zeke had been holding out. 3 weeks.
What's your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Now, Zeke who?
That is hysterical. Jerry would have been on a private jet, his, in 45 minutes a month and a half ago. Because Tony Pollard is not Zeke, but you can win a lot of games with Tony Pollard, that O-line, Dak, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, DeMarcus Lawrence, Byron Jones, that running back, linebacker duo. You do not win any games in the National Football League with Cooper Rush starting at quarterback. This is Dak Prescott's franchise. Who do you trust, Dak or Zeke? Who do you want at the microphone after a game, Dak or Zeke? Who do you know will not be in Cabo for a camp ever holding out? This is Dak Prescott's franchise. Who's going to make double what Zeke did? Who's going to take every snap? Who are you going to rely on trailing by 7 in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia? It's not Zeke, it's Dak. This is Dak Prescott's franchise. This franchise with Tony Romo was fun to watch. And then Tony Romo got hurt, and it was a luxury liner going down fast, and Dak Prescott saved the franchise, kept him on television. Okay, this is Dak's franchise. Okay, Cooper Rush backs up Dak. The NFL gives us, on an annual basis, 2 new quarterbacks that, like, play. The NFL, on the average year, gives us a dozen new running backs. So I know nobody wants to pay Dak, and Dak isn't this, and Zeke is that, and Zeke is valuable, and Zeke is amazing. Here's all I know, is that within the next 6 months to a year, Dak is going to make over double Zeke. DeMarcus Lawrence has already signed for more than Zeke. Amari Cooper will sign for more than Zeke. And ask yourself this. If your boss told you, you are the most important employee, Colin, at the company, and then the guy sitting next to me made over double what I made, I'd be like, how do I reconcile that whole, this is, will be going forward, Dak Prescott's franchise. I'm okay with that. I'm completely okay with that. He doesn't give me a lot of wow, but there's a lot of different ways to pay quarterbacks, and you can pay them on wins, and Dak wins a lot. All right, I want to shift to this because somebody else got paid last night. He's also more important than Zeke. He's a quarterback, and his name is Jared Goff. He'll get $110 million guaranteed. That is over double the guaranteed money that Zeke will get. But let's not just talk about Jared Goff, because I think he's a really, really good player. Many of you don't like him as much. I think he's top 10 in the league. I think he's a better version of Matt Ryan, and I think Matt Ryan's one of the top 8-9 quarterbacks in the NFL. But what I really appreciate is the way the LA Rams did business last night. We are in the entertainment capital of the world. There are 31 music venues in Los Angeles. Most cities have three. There are a dozen professional sports teams. It's Noah's Ark. We got two everything. We got two soccer, two hockey, two baseball, two football, two college, two everything. And that just showed up when you're watching TV on the bottom of the screen. Jared Goff, new contract, $110 million. Restraint. Cowboys have become the Kardashians. I mean, the Cowboys have become the Kardashians. Look how much I'm making. Look at me. I've got a new this, and I got a new that, and here's what I make, and here's my luxury house. And I think a lot of this is Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams. He's legendary. He's the second richest owner in the NFL, almost double Jerry Jones' net worth. And you don't know what he looks like, and you'll never see him. And there's legendary stories that he often shows up for dinner to meet his friend Al Michaels, and he shows up in the back of an Uber. Not like an Uber Black, the expensive one, like a little Uber car. And Stan Kroenke gets out. He's worth $9.8 billion. And that permeates the franchise. The Rams in Los Angeles, Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley. We may be in the city of Kardashians, but it's very non-Kardashian. And I like the way they do business. And here's the other thing. People tend to say, you know, Jerry is very pro-player. But let me ask you this. If you had a son or a daughter that was 22 or 23 years old, and I want you to really think about this, would you want their name out there, hoisted up there, wondering what their value is? Jerry is theatrical, but sometimes the players are the cartilage. For the last 6 to 8 weeks, we have talked about Zeke like he's more thing than human. Is he worth that? Is it worth that? Dak Prescott's not this. Dak Prescott's not that. Dak Prescott is that. He's a human being. I wouldn't want my son or daughter's value being questioned on Instagram or Twitter or social media or debate shows all day. Stan Kroenke actually loves his players. They don't become cartilage. Stan Kroenke wraps up his contracts with his players, and you discuss what now has happened, not Dak and Zeke, what will happen. I like Jerry Jones. I do. I think he's a really good owner, and he generally pays his players. But I don't like the way the Cowboys often do business. They put their players up there like pinatas for guys like me to take wax at. Are you good? Are you not? Are you worth? Are you this? Wouldn't want that done to my kids. I don't want people questioning whether my son or my daughter are worth this or worth that. If somebody respected me and did business with my kids, I would hope they just sign a contract or not, let them go, let them stay, but don't make them cartilage. If you care about employees as much as you tell me you care about employees, then worry a little less about your brand and about selling tickets. I like the Cowboys and I like Jerry, but I like the way the Rams did business with Aaron Donald, even in a holdout. I never really heard about it. Jared Goff last night. I did what you did. How about that? I didn't even hear that thing was coming. I don't like when players become, and I know I'm a talk show guy. I have opinions, but I'd rather not talk about the value of human beings. Pam, I don't like having to talk about contracts, but I got to be honest. For the last month, it's the Cowboys. You got to talk about it. Valuable players, contracts on the line. All I know is I like being surprised by new deals. I like waking up and hearing, oh, Carson Wentz got a bunch of money, good for him. Or waking up and hearing, oh, Jared Goff got a bunch of money, good for him. I don't begrudge any player making what they can. But sometimes I think to the detriment of the athlete, the Cowboys brand takes center stage, the money, the value, the worth. I wish we didn't have to talk about it. I wish we talked about the games and the passes and the catches and the touchdowns, and not about the humans and what they have to be worth R, could be, maybe, not M. Anyway, congrats to both guys for making money. I just like the way the Rams did their business.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's a lot of different ways in America to get paid. You can the Millionaire Next Door book, where you don't make a ton of money, but you max your 401k, you put money away, you live humbly, you pay off your house. Then there's people who get, their mom and dad were rich, they pass away and they leave them money. And the same in professional careers. There's a lot of different ways to get paid. Sometimes you have leverage. Sometimes there's scarcity of your job. You'd be surprised in hospitals who gets paid the most and who gets paid the least. It's not always the flashiest, most honored degree. The anesthesiologist makes the most money in a hospital. Look it up. You wouldn't think so. You'd think the baby doctor who's delivering life would get paid more. No, the anesthesiologist makes 9 times more. It's the same in the NFL for quarterbacks. So Dak's going to get paid. And the knock on Dak is, well, there's not a lot of wow throws. There's not a lot of wow moments. I mean, the biggest play for him last year was a quarterback scramble. There's not a lot of, he doesn't throw for 4,000 yards. He doesn't have one throw that we're like, oh, remember the rolling at, he doesn't have any of those. There's a lot of different ways to get paid. Eli Manning has gotten paid off 2 games. Super Bowls, beating Brady. Andy Dalton got paid a lot of money because Andy Dalton walked into this league, had a bunch of good players around him, and 5 straight years they made the playoffs. Dak's going to get paid because he wins games. Joe Flacco got paid a fortune because he won 2 playoff games, the AFC Championship and then the Super Bowl. Flacco never gets paid because he's mobile. Certainly doesn't get paid because he's accurate. Joe Flacco got paid because in a contract year, he had 2 huge wins and played really good in both. Kirk Cousins got paid $28.5 million. He's not big, doesn't win big games, but he got paid because of what they call scarcity of quarterbacks. He was on the market. Nobody else was out there, and it wasn't a great year for college quarterbacks. Dak's not going to get paid because when I watch him, I don't see Russell Wilson's athletic ability. I don't see Tom Brady or Matt Ryan's precision. I don't see Carson Wentz's size or athletic ability. I don't see the beautiful football down the field Jared Goff throws. But there's a lot of different ways to get paid. Jimmy Garoppolo, my friends, is being paid on potential. Matt Stafford's always been paid on his arm. Cam Newton's paid because he's sort of an athletic freak. The numbers say he's not that accurate. Okay, Dak Prescott, consistent, reliable, wins games. McDonald's did not become the number one fast food chain because their burgers tasted better than everybody else's. But they were fast, they were inexpensive, they were consistent, they were reliable, and they were on time. Southwest Airlines doesn't even have a first class, but it's the highest profiting, most known airlines, I believe, in America because they're on time, not really expensive. I don't cancel many flights. Safety record is impeachable, unimpeachable. There's a lot of different ways to become number one. There's a lot of different ways to get paid. The Cowboys were a disaster. Tony Romo got hurt. 4th round, Dak stepped in. He's reliable. He's mobile enough. He never gets hurt. He's pretty good in the fourth quarter. He wins games in division. He's often better in the fourth than the first quarter. He's kind of the anti-Romo. He's not flashy. He's not that much fun to watch, but he never gets hurt. Tony did. He doesn't make the big mistake. Tony did. Yeah, Tony Romo was more fun to watch, but Tony didn't win as many games as Dak does. And if Tony was getting paid today, you'd be okay with it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Let's go to Nick Wright via the Coward Global Satellite Network. All right, so the Cowboys are all buttoned up. They've got all their players, Nick, and so I imagine you see them as a playoff team and a lucky break from the Super Bowl, right?
I do not. Listen, I think the Cowboys were drawing dead for the postseason if they didn't get Zeke in. They are now alive for the postseason, in my eyes, along with 9 other really quality NFC teams. And so when you're in a conference with 10 viable playoff teams in no particular order, Philly, Dallas, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, Seattle, and the Rams, and that's leaving out your adorable, beloved San Francisco 49ers, you're going to have to make some tough cuts. I tend to err on the side of coach quarterback. Don't love Dallas's coach. Don't trust their quarterback. And even if they get into the tournament, unless something catastrophic happens with Carson Wentz, it will be as a wild card team, and there is no chance, none, in 2019, I guess then it'd be 2020, a Dak Prescott-led team is going to win three consecutive road playoff games. So unless something happens to Wentz, I don't think they can win the division. I don't think they're going to be a wild card team. I think it's going to be 9-7 and a good, not a great, not a championship-level team.
Now, you don't love Jared Goff, if I recall, as much as I do, but I think something happened. I think something happened with Jared Goff. First impressions are incredibly powerful. And it just so happened Jared Goff took over the Rams, and they were on Hard Knocks, and it was awful, and he didn't know east from west, and the offense with Jeff Fisher was impossible to watch. And then the last 2 years, he's been utterly brilliant, but a lot of people cannot get past that first year. Now, Patrick Mahomes, he got to sit in the bench with Andy Reid, so we don't get the misgivings of the young quarterback. I think Goff, who signed a deal yesterday, is the future for 10 years. I think he and Mahomes will meet in and I say this seriously, over the next 12 years in multiple Super Bowls. I think they'll be the two legends. So, but you don't like Goff as much, right?
Yeah, listen, I think Jared Goff has shown the ability to be good. I have not seen him be great. I understand the numbers over the last two seasons since Sean McVay took over. The numbers appear to be pretty undeniable. 12 wins a season, 30 touchdowns a season, 101 rating a season. I get all of that. I also think it's been under the ideal circumstances, not just because of the head coach, but because of the talent around him. And I would be concerned with that player. How good is he going to be once we pay him and therefore we have to pare away the talent around him? Now, I shouldn't be surprised he got this deal. Number one overall picks who make a couple Pro Bowls at that position and then lead their team to the Super Bowl, those guys always get paid. I was excited about the idea that maybe, just maybe, the Rams were going to be an incubator for an experiment that I wish one team one day would try, which is we're just going to keep rolling over the quarterback on a rookie contract. We are always going to have a stacked roster because we're going to draft the quarterback. We trust our coach. We're going to keep him for 5 years, franchise tag him, let someone else take him for those two first-round picks, and start this sucker again. They obviously are not going to go that way with it. We'll see how it works out with them. One last point on Goff. You mentioned first impressions are very noteworthy. That is true. The next most noteworthy impression is the most recent impression, and Jared Goff, before Cooper Kupp went down through 10 weeks, was extraordinary. After Cooper Kupp went down, his passer rating dropped 30 points, and the Rams were very beatable. That speaks to my theory of, okay, Cooks, Woods, Kupp, plus Gurley, plus McVay, he's awesome. Remove any one or two of those ingredients, can he still be great? That's my concern. And by the way, that's one of the reasons I have your Rams out of the playoffs this year.
So let's talk about that. I obviously think they're very good, and I for a lot of different reasons. Let's talk about the NFC. So give me your division winners, and then give me your two wild cards. So go for it. Give me your division winners and wild cards.
No problem. So I'll give you the division winners in order of how I think they'll finish. I think the Packers are going to bounce back with an MVP-level year from Aaron Rodgers, an improved defense given the money they spent on it, and a reinvigorated team with the new head coach. I think they're going to be 12-4 and have the best record in the NFC. Two seed, the Philadelphia Eagles, who will be fighting with the Packers for that top seed all year long. Three seed, I'm sure this is one where we disagree on. The Carolina Panthers last year, through 8 weeks, were 6-2. Football Outsiders said they were the third best team in football. Then TJ Watt wrecked Cam Newton's shoulder and their season went to hell. And the fourth seed, the Seattle Seahawks, who even in a down year went 10-6 and went to the playoffs. In the playoffs, but not winning their division, Saints and Bears.
Okay, so
my concern about the Saints is simply.
Go ahead. No, this is good. I want to say this, though. So you don't have the Rams. You don't have the Cowboys. You don't have the Niners. Sure. You don't have Atlanta. Now, these are tough choices. Sure. What I see right here is you still buy Mitch Trubisky and the Bears. That's what I see.
Well, listen, they won 12 games last year. Even if they take a couple games step back, I think they're still a playoff team. I don't think Trubisky will be worse than last year. God willing, their kicking situation won't be worse. Their defense should be as good. A full offseason from Roquan Smith. Khalil Mack didn't go anywhere, and I really like their coach. And as far as the teams I don't buy, I'm not including San Francisco in this. Jimmy Garoppolo's played 10 games in his life. He's got hurt badly in two of them. Throw them out of it. Now, the Rams, I think the Super Bowl hangover is a real thing, and I also don't think they're going to have the absurd health they had each of the last two regular seasons. You mentioned the Cowboys. I think Cowboys will be good, not great. It's just hard, and you know this, Colin. Every year in the NFL, there is a minimum of four new playoff teams. It's usually five, so you can't just go chalk. You got to find those new teams. In the NFC, the new teams to me are Panthers and Packers. I obviously like both their quarterbacks a lot. I'll start there and almost work backwards.
All right, let's go to the AFC, where I saw your picks, and I don't even know. Maybe you made these in the wee hours of the morning. You were tired, slightly loopy. Go ahead, because I think I agree with two of them. Fire away.
Okay. All right, Patriots, the one seed. I don't have them going to the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs get their revenge in Gillette of the game they should have won last year at Arrowhead. But they'll be the one seed. Soft schedule. They'll be 6-1 at a minimum through 7 weeks. They'll be the one seed. The Chiefs, the best team in the NFL. They're the two seed. The Browns, the most talented starting 11 on both sides of the ball in the NFL. They win the AFC North. And then the Colts. I really like the Colts infrastructure. I like their coach. I like how they're built. And I think Jacoby will be fine. That goes against the Houston Texans, who have just, I think, a clueless head coach. Don't have any real infrastructure. Just have Deshaun, Nuke, and JJ. And then the wild card teams, the Ravens, love the Earl Thomas edition. Love their coach. Lamar, it will add an element that you almost have to specifically game plan for the Ravens, different than any other team. And then there's the Bills. And I'll be honest, I had to talk myself into my own Bills pick. However, every year there's one playoff team that everyone thought was going to be bad. We say, oh, who's your sleeper? And everyone's like, oh, the Niners are a sleeper. And it's like, no, they're not a sleeper. Vegas has them at 9 wins. You got to pick at least one team that's projected to win 5 or 6 games. I am, to quote a semi-wise man, circling the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. And I think they're going to squeeze their way to 9 wins and make the playoffs. I don't really want to argue with you too much about the Bills, though, because I'm not certain how much I believe it.
By the way, it's kooky, but I think it's fun. I will say this. I don't think your Carolina pick's crazy, because I told my staff, I think I told Joy this yesterday, I feel great about every division except the NFC South, and I can look at Carolina's schedule, and it's 11-5, and I would not I picked Atlanta, but I would have no problem if Carolina went 11-5. We got a minute and a half left. You and I have disagreed a lot on Cam. Is it fair to say, though, this year, If they do not deliver, the new owner perhaps does not see Cam. He doesn't care about the rearview mirror stuff. In a minute, what do you project for Cam if it doesn't go well? Because they got a new owner, and he doesn't care about 4 years ago.
Yeah, if it doesn't go well, then I think the 2020 season, Cam could potentially be playing for his job. But I do think there are quarterbacks who have accomplished far less who we give a far greater margin of error than we do Cam Newton. People say he's injured all the time. The guy's missed 5 games in his entire career. People say, how good is he really? Well, he did win a league MVP and come a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl, or maybe a drive away from winning a Super Bowl in a 15-1 season. But yes, things are set up well for them. Despite how they looked against the Pats, I like their offensive line. Love McCaffrey. DJ Moore should be the best receiver they've had since Steve Smith. And the defensive additions, Gerald McCoy, Bruce Irvin, I think that they will get back to Carolina Panther defensive football. So I expect big things from them, a la what they were showing us the first 8 weeks of last year before TJ Watt wrecked Cam Newton on just, I'm not a dirty play, but just an absolutely brutal hit in the pocket.
Nick Wright, co-host, First Things First, buddy. Can't wait for the NFL season. Good seeing you.
Absolutely. I'm excited for you to get one of those Patrick Mahomes headbands with the hair, Colin. Get on the bandwagon, my friend. Don't be wrong like last year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jared Goff got a big contract, and there's a lot of critics of Jared Goff, and I like Jared Goff. There are moments for an athlete that are tipping points. I thought his game against Minnesota on television, on Fox, I thought his game against Kansas City, those were tipping point moments. Yes, Sean McVay is an excellent coach, but Joe Montana had Bill Walsh, Brady's got Belichick, Dan Fouts had Air Coryell, Troy Aikman had Jimmy Johnson, Terry Bradshaw had Chuck Knoll. None of these guys are great without a really smart coach. Yes, Sean McVay is really smart. And Patrick Mahomes has Andy Reid, but we don't want to give Andy Reid any credit in Kansas City because Mahomes is so flashy and fun. And the flashier the sports car, the less credit we give the driver. And when it comes to Breeze and it comes to Brady and it comes to Goff, I mean, good God, we're still calling Tom Brady a system quarterback. They're all system quarterbacks. Mahomes went toe-to-toe, and Goff beat him. And Goff went up against Minnesota and had a perfect quarterback rating, never been done with over 30 pass attempts. Goff did it. But the bottom line, the flashier the quarterback, the less credit we give the coach. I'll give you an example of this. Mike Holmgren's a Hall of Fame-level head coach. We gave him all the credit in Seattle with Matt Hasselbeck and none of the credit in Green Bay with Brett Favre. You ask anybody about Mike Holmgren, they're like, he's one of the top 10 coaches of all time. Go look at Mike Holmgren's coaching tree. It's like next to Parcells. It's unbelievable. Holmgren got no credit for Favre. He got all the credit for Hasselbeck. He deserved, 50% of credit for both of them. So I think Goff's contract, he's worth it. I think he's smart. I think he's unique. I think he's Matt Ryan with better arm talent. And the idea that, well, it's Sean McVay, name me the quarterback that's got Super Bowl appearances. It just doesn't happen. You got Sean Payton is not Sean Payton without – excuse me, Drew Brees is not Drew Brees without Sean Payton. And I love Troy Aikman, but if he'd had Barry Switzer for the first 4 years and not Jimmy Johnson, I don't think he would have been Troy Aikman. And that's nothing against Barry Switzer. Barry took Jimmy's momentum and won a Super Bowl. But if Troy had Barry's momentum, it may have been too late. He may have been gone by the time Jimmy Johnson got there. So I think Goff's worth it. I think he's smart. I think he works hard. I think he's low-key. He's got the right personality. I think he's got the size, a little bigger than Matt Ryan, and a better arm than Matt Ryan. And I think Matt Ryan's a top-10 guy. And the other thing about Jared Goff I like, totally coachable. It matters. Mahomes, coachable. Luck, coachable. Russell Wilson, coachable. It matters. Sam Darnold, coachable. Garoppolo, coachable. I've said this before about Cam. Sometimes I think he's coachable. Jay Cutler. Sometimes I think he was coachable. I think that's a big component. I think Goff's the real deal.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Frank Caliendo, you know him for a lot of things. I think he got really national when you see him on Letterman the first time. It was John Madden, and he's had a great career. He used to be on Fox NFL Sunday. His Gruden is spot on. My favorite, actually, is George W. Bush, which he'll do for me today because I think it's the funniest impersonation I've ever seen. But he was in Arizona where he lives. The Raiders were in town. Gruden asked Caliendo to come in and do Gruden. Watch.
Glenn on. Love you, man. We needed a quarterback on the team who had a lot of neck. We got a good guy for that, man.
Dame School signing bonus.
John Gruden, University of Dayton. I'd do this for free. You know why? Because I love football. Knock on wood if you're with me. I watched something the other night that impressed me tremendously. A guy by the name of Hunter Renfro. It's pretty spectacular, man.
All right, let's bring him in. Frank Caliendo, comedian, impressionist, Fox NFL Sunday for over a decade. Great seeing you.
Yes, great to be here.
So it's so ironic because I was watching some YouTube clips years ago on Letterman, and that was always a brutal show for any comedian.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard a comedian outside of Norm Macdonald get treated better on Letterman because they didn't treat all comedians.
And Norm's the best, right? He didn't matter what he even said there, He was just, hey, Joy, I didn't know you were so close over there. I only hear you from once in a while on the show, you know. But the thing about Norm Macdonald's, he doesn't even have to talk about anything. Like, he doesn't have to have there are funny people that are funny because of what they say is funny, and they say funny things, or how they say it is funny. Norm Macdonald is. You ever go to the grocery store? And you go, how's this guy that much of a genius? He's a big sports guy too.
No, he's one of the comedic geniuses of my life.
Yeah,
he's
just brilliant. I pretty much do anything, you know.
Hey, Jerry Jones, big day for Jerry. Guy signed Zeke.
Yeah. I've been watching the show, so I've been catching on to his analogies are what always get me.
We have a certain amount of pie that we can divvy up. What we did was we found pies from future years and divvied up those pies and brought them to this year, kind of a Back to the Future hot tub time machine kind of thing. And what we did is we divvied up that pie, gave some pie to Zeke, and gave some pie to other players, so we will have enough pie. Well, we could have gone with cake. If we'd have had cake, cake does not have a hard outer layer.
But pie does.
Pie does.
Now, by the way, Jerry likes to talk, so I would imagine. Also, the Texas twang gives you something there. It makes it more memorable. Jerry, to me, talks more than any owner in sports, and we said this yesterday. There is no number two.
No, he's the only owner that's more famous than everybody on the team.
Like, that's a good point.
Think about that. Like, what other owner is anywhere near that? Like you said, number one, no number two. But he's got commercials. What other?
Buy my pizza, eat my pizza. Like,
what other owner? You don't even know who they are.
Now,
that was almost you there. We don't even know who they are.
Listen,
do you do that? Like, at the beginning of the show, it's always funny. Ah! Do you do that when you introduce yourself? Like,
I do.
I am Colin Cowherd, and this is my wife.
What's so funny about that? I don't think that's funny at all. You do a Jay Glazer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, that's one of the things. You come out here, and you think you're going to get some inside information. Listen, on my way here, I actually worked out on my way to a workout. That's how I'm going to work out. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You guys know who Dwayne The Rock Johnson is? Not as big a name as I am, but he's a pretty big guy. Pretty strong guy, a little bit taller than me. But we work out together, and I'm like, Dwayne, come on, put some more weight on there. I just got done, and he can't lift it. You think about, hey, this guy's in Jumanji? Come on, man. Get another board game. We're watching Sorry right now. That's what we're watching. Don't give me the finger. That's a point. Why are you trying to slow me down? You know what you're. Do you know how hard I work? Do you have any idea how hard I work? Every day, I wake up 4 in the morning, take a nap, but then I get back up, and I get phone calls. It's an incredible amount of phone calls. People actually texting me about the phone calls I'm about to get. It's incredible stuff. Now, nobody works this hard. And right now, I'm actually sitting. It's hard to sit here because I'm just a ball of energy. In He-Man the movie, I would have been Ram Man. You ever see that guy?
No.
Just run through a building. It's unbelievable.
Now, there are guys that are hard to impersonate, I hear, and this one I can't believe because like, again, Jay Glazer is got such a personality.
Cadence, yeah.
Yeah. And then some guys, Jerry Jones and George W. Bush, Texas people, you got to be careful because they can sound the same. You do an Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I'm so into Glazer right now, I got to come back.
Okay, come back.
Gosh, Andrew Luck is kind of that thing where his teeth are kind of matching up. I'm struggling. I'm going back to me, and I'm not even trying to do it. I just got a text. Work more on the Andrew Luck. It's going to get there.
So it's a teeth thing with Luck.
Yeah, because his teeth kind of just match up exactly where it is. So, yeah.
That's pretty.
It's
like
getting it. There. Yeah, it's tough because if I do a lot of stuff with energy, certain impressions are really good with the energy, and some of them I get so worked up that my throat has to come back for it. So, but Andrew Luck is like a Muppet version of Wolverine from the X-Men. Like, you think the claws are going to come up, but then I want to just give you a big hug.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
now, when you first did John Madden, and again, that was that gave you some profound notoriety. Madden initially didn't love it.
Yeah, you go out there, and people in sports are not used to being made fun of by people outside of sports.
Like being mocked.
Yeah, and I don't think of it like that. I like the people. Usually when people meet me, I met Madden at the Super Bowl in Dallas years ago, and I made his grandkids laugh. And when I made his grandkids laugh, it was like, I get it now. This guy makes small children laugh. I mean, it's unbelievable. But like, people were telling me all the reasons he didn't like me. Like, you said in a sketch you killed him. I'm like, I don't remember doing anything like that.
Well,
like,
no. I mean, John's affinity. John had kind of a circular, I think one of the funniest things was John's stuff always came down to a basic premise. And the simple premise was That's what it's all about.
That's what that's all about. You know, you think of those things you do and the things you don't do, and between those two things, I mean, that's pretty much.
if you watch him on the season, the first episode of the season of Hard Knocks, he's just talking about the 7-man sled.
I mean, you get up, you do the 7-man sled, you don't do a 6-man sled or an 8-man sled, because, I mean, there's no reason to do that.
Now, Gruden embraced it from the first second.
I'm not sure. I don't know. It was set up for him to get to know me better. Because the first time I met him, he's just making that.
And that's what he, I know. This is what John looks like in the hallway at my former employer.
I'll tell you what, man, it's tremendous right here. When I'm talking about tremendous, when you're looking at him, man.
It's like he's doing that. It's like he's always doing karaoke in his head and following the bouncing ball, that kind of thing. But he's like, I go up to him and he's like, so you're the guy that does me, huh? I'm like, yeah. He's like, where are you from? And I looked up where he was from. So I said that. I was like, Sandusky, Ohio. He's like, really? I'm like, no. He's like, good, because you were blowing my mind, man.
you do a lot of sports people, and that's what I know you for, and that's why you appear on sports shows. I imagine there's a handful of other celebrities, Hollywood stuff at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's quite a few. It's the weird ones that I really like. The Jeff Goldblum's very odd, very crazy. Why? You're pointing at me.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, of course. Should be a guest. That would be incredible. Why Colin was right and why Colin was what? Wrong.
That's very good. I've had him on the show before.
Oh, have you really?
He's eccentric.
Very weird.
Plays a piano bar in Los Feliz.
And there isn't even a piano there. How do you do that, huh?
I played the piano once. I just stepped on it, you know?
Ah, sounds like Caliendo stepped in it right there because he didn't have a joke. Very good.
Tell you what, man.
I have no idea what's going on right now. Does anybody understand this? I mean, he's going from voice to voice. There's no jokes at this point. But at least he got back to me. That was the best part. The best part was me, and then it got off track for a little bit. It got a little bit less interesting, and now it's back to being interesting. Thank goodness.
Okay, now George W. Bush, the younger George.
Yeah.
By the way, I think he's one of the most decent people. If you told me there's two presidents in my lifetime that I think are just wonderful people, it's Jimmy Carter and George Bush. I liked Obama too, but I can put my arms around him. I think they're nice people. I don't have to agree with their politics,
right,
but I like them as guys. So I would think he would like it, although your impersonation of him was kind of cutting.
It was always silly. I look at it as being silly. I don't try. It was kind of that he didn't get what was going on, but a lot of times he was in the camera just not understanding what was happening. And that's just that's what were we talking about? That's
what it always. I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about how hard I work. Does anybody have any of you guys out here understand how hard I work? I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Did I tell you that yet? I'm going to tell you six more times. I actually got up four times at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's 16 times. Multiplication.
By the way,
I'm going to count backwards by threes from 100. 97, 94, 91. 86, nah, man, I just 86 that one. I've been screwing it up, man. Those wide receivers got it tougher than you thought.
Now, you don't do me, but years ago, you were in the Sherman Oaks studio. That's where Jim Rome made prominence. That's where Jim's great career started. And now, I don't know how Rome takes it, but I think it's a great compliment to Jimmy that you do a very funny Romey.
Probably a great impression to do right now. Your show just got a lot better. How great is this? I'm getting ready to pause for no reason whatsoever. Done. How great was that? Incredible.
Jim, I...
Do not interrupt the pauses, Colin. Incredible.
Jim, I think you're excellent.
Phenomenal.
I love your work.
Arugula. Tell you what, man. Arugula, that's a great lettuce right there, man.
It is.
You know how hard I work? I bring in the lettuce. That's all.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, man.
Frank Caliendo, right. Great seeing you.
Yeah, great to be here.